I am Linda van Tolberg for BizNews. With a growing interest among South Africans in establishing businesses in the United Kingdom, many are left wondering about the best approach to achieve this. And to shed light on the process, we have Saskia Johnston from Sabrel International here in the BizNews studio. Hi Saskia, nice to speak to you again.
Hi Linda, lovely to speak to you too.
So are there any opportunities for South African entrepreneurs in the UK?
Very much so. I think in the last 3-4 years in the UK, the skill shortage that the UK's experience has been becoming more and more severe. And as such, we are seeing a lot of South African entrepreneurs that run successful businesses in the South African market look at the UK as a great opportunity to expand their business into a new market, and that the kind of niche competitive edge for those entrepreneurs, if you will, is the ability to hire and recruit staff in South Africa and be able to relocate them to service the UK business.
So, you know, have there been any changes in legislation to set up a business in the UK?
From setting up a business in the UK, there haven't been many kind of changes in legislation, but there have been some considerable changes in terms of the immigration legislation. So more around the way that you can redeploy resources from one country to another. The immigration law in the UK is changing all the time, so it definitely keeps us on our toes. But there have been some fundamental changes to the kind of types of roles that can qualify for sponsorship or skilled working visa in the UK.
So what are the preferred routes for South African businesses?
So generally speaking, if a business is looking to expand to the UK market, they would kind of go through the process of incorporating the business, getting all the logistics in place. Very often that would also involve having a UK resident office holder, so a UK resident company secretary or director. We find that can really help with the logistical setup of a business where they have somebody on the ground in the UK. And then in terms of redeploying personnel, they'd go through the process of registering as a licensed sponsor in the UK. So that's a registration with the UK Home Office in order to sponsor migrant workers from other countries. So it's not specific to South Africa, but once a UK business is a licensed sponsor, they can sponsor migrants from anywhere around the world. But specific to South African entrepreneurs, they like the route because they can redeploy their skilled resources from their South African business to help with the UK business expansion, where their local competitors in whatever industry they may be would be really struggling to find key personnel to fulfill those type of roles. So the Home Office has changed some of the legislation around the skilled working visa and the shortage occupation. So for example, bricklayers, plumbers, electricians, those type of roles have been very high up in the shortage occupation list, which we haven't seen before.
Well, our construction companies are reportedly high in demand in the UK. So is this consistent with the trends you've been observing?
Very much so. Just last month, we helped a South African business send across 22 welders to the UK. We've never seen anything like that before. But the reality is that the building and construction industry in the UK is absolutely booming, and the local businesses in those areas are often struggling to fulfill the work. And that's all primarily down to resourcing constraints within the UK skill shortage.
So is it not sort of highly skilled, like engineers from university that they're looking for? Are they looking for plumbers?
I think it's across the board. So engineers have always been in high demand in the UK. So that's not necessarily new. And they still are in very high demand in the UK. But I think what is new is the more kind of entry-level skills, if you will. So the bricklayers, the plumbers, the electricians, the welders, ship sprayers, those type of roles are really new to have such a shortage and are really being seen as quite skilled roles in the UK. Whereas in the South African market, you wouldn't necessarily consider those professions as skilled as they currently do in the UK.
So what about, you know, something like AI? So would people not actually immigrate physically for that?
So in terms of those type of roles, they would obviously have to immigrate. There are a range of roles in the UK that people do work remotely. I think we've seen that trend kind of since COVID, where people were hiring kind of data technicians or programmers offshore. And I think that trend has continued. And we definitely are seeing the trend in the UK market as a whole with the return to the office. So you're seeing many more businesses go to more in office than not, whereas about 2 years ago, the common trend was more out of office than in.
So, but you know, what are the challenges South African entrepreneurs face when setting up businesses in the UK?
I think the UK is quite open to international business. So in terms of the incorporation and kind of HMRC or accounting registration, that's all very straightforward. I think the challenges are very much around the UK corporate banking. So it's really hard to get a corporate bank account in the UK. Unfortunately, with compliance being the way that it is at the moment, it's the UK bank's appetite for non-resident directors or shareholders is quite tricky to navigate. We do know quite a few fintech banks in the UK that make that considerably easier. And another way to overcome that challenge is having a UK resident office holder physically present in the UK, because their ability to open a corporate account for the business would be much more straightforward.
You mentioned that you took a construction company over. Do you have other examples of companies that are seeking this route?
So we've assessed many companies in the last few years. I'd probably say this year, from 2024 up until September, there's probably been 10 to 15 South African businesses that are quite successful in the South African market that have made the decision to expand to the UK market in a range of fields. So some of them I've mentioned. Also, data cabling seems to be a skill that South Africans have a lot of and the UK has very little of.
True. Okay. Can you walk us through the steps involved if you start a business in the UK?
Sure. So the first step is the incorporation with Companies House. That's relatively straightforward. We do have a department at Sable that can assist with that kind of logistical setup. And then they need to do their kind of statutory registrations with HMRC. So that's for things like payroll, auto-enrollment, pensions, and that type of thing. They will also need some kind of address, whether that's a registered office address or a kind of shared address, UK office holder or company secretary, and then UK bank account. And those are kind of the initial logistics that need to be in place. And those are all relatively straightforward, except the bank account, which we've obviously spoken about. And then once that's all set up, it's relatively, it's going through the process of registering as a licensed sponsor with the Home Office.
So does this lead to residency or citizenship eventually?
Yes, it does. So skilled working visas in any of the categories that I've mentioned are able to relocate to the UK, and you can be in the UK on a skilled working visa for any period of time. But after 5 years of being continuously resident in the UK on a skilled working visa, then you may qualify for indefinite leave to remain. So that's commonly known as permanent residency. And then a year after that, you would qualify for naturalization. So it's the 6-year path to residency.
Are South Africans highly sought after in the UK market?
Very much so. I think in the international sphere, South Africans have a very good reputation in terms of South Africans' work ethic. And I think the productivity and the output that South Africans are able to produce on the international market is considerably higher than in the local market. About a year ago, we assisted a South African-based bricklaying company, and it was a South African entrepreneur. He had already incorporated in the UK and had been running quite successfully for about 3 years. But he was being held hostage by the local recruitment market. So we helped him become a licensed sponsor, and then he redeployed some of his South African bricklayers to the UK. And a stat that he told me I found very interesting. So the average UK bricklayer earns about £100,000 per year. The average South African bricklayer earns about the equivalent of £30,000 per year. The average South African bricklayer lays about 1,000 bricks a day, and the average British bricklayer lays about 300 bricks a day. So you can do the math, but that just was an example that really stuck in my head in terms of the efficiency that many South Africans are able to produce on the international market, even at that kind of entry level.
Are there any problems with if a bricklayer, well, let's use this example, because you use that, of bringing his wife and children over?
Yep. Well, children under 18 and a partner over 2 years or married spouse can come with the main candidate.
Is there any way, do you think, that the landscape would change, that the UK would change its laws that would not be so good for businesses?
Well, it's obviously a very interesting time in the UK at the moment with the kind of change in government. So historically, Labour has always been very pro-skills migration, but we are obviously acutely mindful that the UK at the moment, immigration has really been used as kind of a bargaining point in the upcoming elections. So it's really difficult to say if there will be considerable changes. We do foresee that there'll probably be some favorable changes for certain occupations coming into the UK. And as you already mentioned, Linda, those would be roles in kind of engineers, doctors, healthcare, those type of roles. So it's really hard to say so early on in a new government if there will be other fundamental changes. But I think the UK immigration industry on the whole has gone through so many changes in the last 5 years. I think the new government, kind of with Brexit, the post-Brexit immigration, and then there were fundamental changes earlier this year to all immigration routes, minimum salaries, spousal visas, etc. So I can't foresee them doing anything too crazy in the next few years because it's already been through so much change.
Is there still demand that care workers want to come to the UK? Because I think they can't bring, in certain circumstances, can't bring spouses in.
Yeah, so care workers can't bring their families, spouse or children. I think the reason that the Home Office brought that law into effect was the caretaker specifically was under a severe amount of abuse with the changes in the post-Brexit immigration regime. So carers are kind of a very entry-level skill, so you don't have to have any underlying qualification, any kind of proven experience or any kind of nurse's qualification or anything like that. So I think the route was specifically targeted to for businesses that were not actually bringing over carers, but using the route as a means to get effectively illegal immigrants into the UK. So I think that's why the Home Office changed the legislation so fundamentally. And I think they have definitely curbed some of the issues with the routes, but I also think they've obviously curbed the amount of carers coming to the UK that they fundamentally and legitimately need in the UK. So I think perhaps the way that they tried to curb that route from abuse wasn't quite the right way because it's actually negatively impacting the individuals as opposed to negatively impacting the businesses that were abusing the system.
Saskia, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thanks so much for your time, Linda.